A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on December 4, 1994, entitled Longing for Home and at Home Away from Home. The scripture readings are Jeremiah 29, verses 4 through 14, and Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. The texts for the sermon are Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13, and Matthew 1, verse 23. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
None of us are home yet, and therefore, inevitably, there will be those moments when there will be a longing for home. For home is not, first of all, a matter of geography. It has to do with the places of the heart. Well, then, is there nothing more to be said? Well, yes, there is something more to be said. For into that loneliness and into that dull ache, there is spoken a word of hope. Judah found a word of hope coming to it from a most unlikely source. The prophet Jeremiah sent them a letter. He remained in Jerusalem, but he heard about their paralysis of despair. And so he wrote to them a letter, which we read a moment ago, recorded in the 29th chapter of his prophecy. And in that letter, he gave them a word of hope. He enabled them to find a way to be at home away from home. The letter comes from this prophet who had more than any other prophetic voice announced the imminent judgment that was going to fall on the southern kingdom. In order to understand this, we really will have to understand something that's very central to the biblical story, and that is the prophetic voice was the voice that brought a word of judgment. But bringing the word of judgment was always in order to bring a word of grace. For the prophet was one that believed in God and believed in God's purposes in history and believed in God's promises that would be fulfilled. And so the word of judgment was a word that could be severe. The warning of the prophet is characteristic. But the prophet was exactly the one who also brought the word of grace, in this case, a wonderful word of hope. For he wrote to these people whose lives had stalled, who were living in a miasma of despair. And he said to them in the first place, in effect, get on with your life. Get on with your life. Get on with the ordinary things of ordinary days. Build houses, plant gardens, marry, give your sons and your daughters in marriage, let them raise children, raise up another generation. Don't dwindle, don't decrease, but increase. And pray for the welfare of the city where you are, for in its welfare will be your welfare. A very practical, earthy kind of counsel from this prophet who had been so sharp in his warning of judgment to come. The judgment had fallen, but it was not the end. He said to them, get on with your lives. But this wasn't simply a kind of superficial counsel that was insensitive to the feelings of the people. He had a reason for counseling them to move into life. It was because he was sure that God had not abandoned them. And that wonderful promise, he says, as the voice of God, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. plans of good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah reminded this people in exile that God would not let them alone, God would not abandon them, that God still had something to do with them and for them. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans of good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And that future and that hope was something that they could set their heart upon. But in the meantime, he had an even better word. And that word was simply this: when you are home, away from home, you are at home with God. You may be far from the holy city, from the ashes of the temple, from all of the sacred memories, all of those things that were precious to you. You may be a long way from home, but you're not a long way from God. For if you will seek me, you will find me. If you will call upon me, I will listen to you. If with all your heart you truly seek me, you will also surely find me. Because you see, Jeremiah had that marvelous insight that home is not a matter of geography. It had to do with the places of the heart. Jeremiah understood that God was near to his people, even when his people were a great distance from home. And thereby he could bring them this word of encouragement: get on with your life. God has a future for you full of hope. And in the meantime, God is with you. God will be found of you. For God is as close as the inner sanctum of your heart. Matthew borrowed from another Hebrew prophet when he would tell the story of Jesus. As he looked back on the event of the birth of Jesus, he went to Isaiah. Isaiah, who had given an earlier king of Judah a sign which that king didn't really want, a sign that God would deliver God's people before a young child would become of age. He said to the king, "A child will be born of a Jewish maiden, and his name will be Emmanuel," which in the Hebrew means God with us. And the presence of the child was a sign of God's presence with God's people. And when Matthew told the story of Jesus, Matthew said, "This is the one. This is Emmanuel. This one in our midst is a sign of the presence of God with us. This one enables us to be at home, away from home. For home is not finally a matter of geography. Home has to do with the places of the heart. And therefore, for those in exile in Judah, or for you and me, the old Advent hymn has it just right. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here, waiting for the Son of God to appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel will come to you, O Israel. He has come, and he has assured us that God is with us, and He has gone before us to prepare a place for us, to assure us that we will be with God finally home.